Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man!
Happy Tuesday, Mike Bell. Last night was an interesting NFL game. We got a crazy shootout from our Atlanta Hawks on the road, which is something I certainly didn't expect. And today, man, we've got a bunch of guests that are going to stop by. We'll talk to Chuck Smith in about 20 minutes, get his take on not only last week's game
with the Falcons,
but looking ahead, Carolina Falcons on Sunday. I think whoever loses that game, Mike, you can go ahead and start talking about next year. I really mean that. But we'll see what Chuck thinks. And then we're going to go behind enemy lines in the 4 o'clock hour with Mick Mixon. He is the play-by-play guy for the Carolina Panthers. We'll find out the latest on I'm back and seeing what's going on with him. And Steve Weiss is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock for the Falcon Report. And we're chasing some college football guys. Man, what's going on with you, Mike?
Hey, man. Well, Merry Christmas. Christmas came early today. The World Series game dirt arrived today.
I cannot believe you bought this. I cannot believe
it's your Christmas. It's one of these bottles is your Christmas present, pal.
I know. I saw it on Twitter, and guys were like, get that dirt off the counter. I was like, huh? Wait a minute.
Yeah, what? I ran it by Ike, and he sniffed it. It is definitely not seasoning. It is not Montreal steak sauce or seasoning, I should say. So, yeah, man, it's not dry rub. It is dirt. And you'll notice, Carl, the hue of the Houston dirt is redder and deeper because, obviously, the tears of Houston Astros fans are mixed in the dirt from Game 6. But, yeah, man, so I'm going to go sprinkle some in the backyard so my dog can dig up some Braves excellence throughout the summer. But, yeah, man, it was one of those, like, impulse buys. You know, the guys are killing me when I got it. But that arrived today. And also, as we're now, like, more than what? One day, 2 days, 3 days.
Somebody dug that dirt up, put it in a bottle, and sent it.
No, it's legit. There's a certificate of authenticity. Carl, don't you know? You've got friends in the baseball card business. When there's a hologram, that means it's real.
It's real, yes.
You stick a hologram on something that's bona fide. Also, 72 hours removed from the Georgia Bulldogs, obviously losing. And I was asking the question today, and I got some interesting responses on Twitter about, do you trust Kirby in big games? Because, Oklahoma, that was a big game a couple years ago. But, I mean, do you trust him to beat Alabama? And you may have to do that again this year. That doesn't really work out so well. So some Georgia fans are kind of, there's not as much doom and gloom and as crazy as you and I were yesterday. But still, there's some valid questions to be asked about what the hell's going on with the Dawgs.
Yeah, and here's the deal, man. For me, as we talk about this, and again, leading up to the college football semifinal, the national semifinal game, the thing I got yesterday is stop worrying. And here's what I would say to Dawg fans, and this is what I'm going to ask you today. Are they built for it? Now, you're going to tell me, well, of course we are. We had the best defense. It just got exposed. But we had the best defense in the college football landscape across the country than anybody else. We dominated all of our opponents except one. Yeah, of course we are. Here's what I'm asking, though, and I want you to think about this from the aspect of the other teams that are involved in the college football playoff. Michigan, Cincinnati, and, of course, Alabama. Are you built to come from behind? And, Mike, it's the one thing that concerns me about this Dawg football team. And I told you, playing with leads is one thing. Playing from behind is a whole nother. And if you're going to say, yeah, of course, I mean, that was one game. It was an aberration. I'm going to tell you that the one thing the Dawgs don't have, and they haven't really had it all season, but we hadn't talked about it because they kept winning and winning and winning, and it wasn't a factor. Where's the next level playmakers on the outside? And when you talk about Alabama or even, for that matter, Cincinnati, I know you haven't been paying attention. all of these teams that are now left in the college football playoff, and specifically Alabama, because I think most Dog fans might think that's who we're going to play, right? We're going to get back and have a chance at Alabama. Where are the next level playmakers? When you look at the history of Alabama and its dominance over Georgia in these last 5 years, Mike Williams, Calvin Ridley, you talk about Jamar Chase with LSU when they played him in the SEC championship game. Devontae Smith killed him. And then what do we see on Saturday, Mike? Jameis Williams had one of the biggest days against the Dogs. And I'm looking at the Dogs and I'm going, where's that guy for our team?
Well, he's injured. I mean, he's supposed to be Pickens, but, I mean, you do have Brock Bowers emerge as a stud, and he actually had a pretty good day. You've got some good running backs and catch the football, but, I mean, some of the wide receivers, Carl, I mean, Kyrus Jackson, some of these dudes just not 100% yet, but I get what you're saying. I mean, it's supposed to be the next level, but you still had Blaylock and all these guys that got banged up over the course of preseason and regular season to a lesser extent, but I'm with you. I mean, Jameson Williams, Mechie, I mean, those guys just carved them up. And, you know, the secondary, we talked about that. I mean, how are you that deficient in your secondary? Obviously, as you said, we weren't really exposed in the early part of the year against the SEC East opponents. But, man, I mean, it happened. You were not prepared for what they were able to. You could not counterpunch. That was my biggest concern about it. I know what you're saying about the wide receivers. To me, it's about the coaching staff. How do you not counterpunch in this situation? I mean, that's it? Well, they got us. Game's over, man. I mean, I just don't understand how the defensive approach played itself out over four quarters.
I don't know if they're built for that. I don't know. We're going to find out. Maybe they don't have to worry about it, and maybe they play with the lead here on out in the next two games and they win a national championship and it's not discussed. But what if? And what if they find themselves in a situation like they did against Alabama where they are down? Mike, Bama scored more points in the second quarter. They had four scoring drives and they scored in the third quarter early. Then UGA allowed all of September, October, and November in one quarter. So I'm just wondering, are they built for it? And when I ask that question, I'm not talking about can they win a championship. The talent is there. Can they come from behind and battle back and win a game? And when the first attempt came on Saturday night, they weren't able to do it.
Well, the other thing is, and this is something I was talking about with some Georgia fans today, is, I mean, yeah, we all want to see, you guys want to see JT Daniels out there. Okay, well, how is he going to deal with Ojabo and Hutchinson? Because those guys get after it for Michigan. As we said yesterday, 25 sacks. Hutchinson getting invited to the Heisman Trophy. Unfortunately, not Jordan Davis, but he's a dude, you know, who's just killing it getting after the quarterback. But how is Daniels going to do
better? Sexier position, by the way.
Yeah,
edge rusher.
Interior doesn't get the juice, you're right. Yeah. But Jordan, and look, then they gave Jordan Davis all the showcases and the moments on the offensive side and everything, but, you know, it is what it is. But JT Daniels is going to, you know, probably not get the start because I think Kirby's going to roll with Stetson Bennett because he likes the mobility against Michigan.
So here's the other thing then, okay? It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and we're talking about the aftermath of the Dogs. And again, I'm hoping all of these things that we're talking about get figured out and fixed. I just don't know if they will. If you're asking me about JT Daniels, here's what I know about the teams that have beaten Georgia. Whether you talk about being in the championship or not, Clemson had Deshaun Watson, Mike, difference maker. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones. I'm just mentioning because, and you just saw Bryce Young. Where are the Heisman-caliber NFL-ready quarterbacks for the Dogs? If you're going to tell me that the guy we have, and you trust him enough, and we're going to continue to roll with him in this circumstance, okay, so be it. But I'm telling you, that's been the difference with these other teams, whether it's been Clemson or Alabama or LSU.
Yeah, I know.
That's been the difference.
Look, we started the season with that. You know, the good news this year is you've actually got that guy in place. And you've got, oh, by the way, if heaven forbid something happens, we were figured, well, maybe Brock Vandegrift can actually be thrown in. Not an option. Carson Beck passed right over. They go back with a sure and steady, or slow and steady, instead of Bennett. But I get what you're saying. I'm just telling you, this is Kirby's stubbornness, or there was some kind of dysfunction, and there was some kind of sideways between him and JT Daniels. Because I don't know what, again, I'm not going to give stock to any of the, put stock to some of those rumors that have been flying around for months. No idea. But you started the season with this guy. You felt he was your best option to beat Clemson. And that vaunted defense, he beat Cincinnati. He's undefeated as a starter for the Georgia Bulldogs. In the two games against the Alabama Crimson Tide, you got five interceptions from Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, I know. And yet you keep saying, not you, yeah. Georgia fans, it's okay. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can certainly jump in and jump in the conversation. I just don't know if they are. And, Chris, you can throw a poll question up as well at Dukes and Bell 929. It's all about being able to come from behind. It's easy to play with the lead, guys. Your defense looks a lot better with a lead. It's easy for your quarterback to hand the ball off when you're up three touchdowns. But when you have to go make plays, it changes the dynamic of a game. It does. And you get to see the real players in those situations. You get to see the real guys of what they're made of. And I'm not telling you Georgia doesn't have those guys, but the guys didn't live up to it on Saturday night, and now it's in the back of their mind, Mike, if we get down again, how are we going to fight back? And do you trust the guy that's throwing the ball to try to make it happen?
Well, that's just it. I mean, it's a chicken and the egg. Some guys are saying on social media, you've got the weapons, you've got enough weapons, even with the injuries to your wide receiver core, but you don't have the reliable delivery system against elite competition. So it goes back to everything we talked about yesterday. I'm with you, bro. It's a lot of frustration out there. Some guys feel that Kirby can be trusted. Some guys are starting to doubt. Look, and by the way, as we said yesterday, I don't know how it goes from you and I bitching about him not mishandling the quarterback situation to fire Kirby. No one's saying fire Kirby, but I think it's just something that Georgia boosters and the athletic director at some point, if they don't win a national championship this year, should ask. What the blank is going on with your quarterback room?
Yeah, and for me, it's not about trusting. I got to trust a guy who's been as good as Kirby has been. I'm asking you, do they have the guys? See, for me, it's a different conversation, Mike. I'm not going to ask you if I trust Kirby. The dude just ran off 12 games. He's been in SEC championship games. He's played for national titles. He's done a great job. I'm not going to debate that. What I'm asking you is, do they have the guys to do what we need to do this time around, this year? Do they have the guys? Where are the difference makers at the next level on the outside? Where's the quarterback play? That's what I'm asking.
Again, some of those guys in the wideouts are here. They're five-star, but they're injured. They're not available. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, then they can't help you.
Well, I mean, well, then you got Bennett. You got Brock Bowers. You got a bunch of guys out there. To me, it goes back to Bennett against elite competition. He's good to beat the middle-of-the-road SEC East. He is not good enough to beat Bama. It's proven. It's been shown. There's nothing more to see there. And you'd be foolish to run him out against Alabama if you see them again.
We'll see. You guys can jump in, man. We'd love to hear from you. And again, Mike's right. I'm not saying that. I don't think Mike's been saying that. If you think we're saying fire Kirby, that's dumb. Georgia got the right guy. He's just got to figure out what it's going to take to make this happen. And if he doesn't, well, the blame has to go somewhere. And it's going to go on the head coach's shoulders. Hey, we're coming back. We got plenty to dive into. Chuck Smith's going to join us. Poll questions up. I'll tell you what it is when we get back. We'll find out what Chuck thinks about the Falcons moving forward. They got Carolina this weekend. What happened last Sunday? We say good afternoon with that music to Chuck Smith. And Chuck, boy, I tell you what, Mike and I were talking yesterday about the Falcons. And I want to start first, though, with the whole statue thing with the with the guy you said they were going to be building a statue for at Georgia. What's going on, man?
Hey, we had to put the statues on the truck, man. They put it next to the stadium down there in Athens, man. Look, man, the bottom line is it can make it just that much sweeter when the Dogs, if they come out of this championship run and win the national title, Stetson Bennett still has a chance to put it, etch his name up there with the greats, all right? Maybe the statue might come. I don't know, especially if he ain't the starter, then that's a whole nother issue. But let's move on, though. That's for later in the show.
All right, man. I mean, I know that I got to ask you, though, as a defender, because just real quick, I know we're going to cover all the bases on this. We have sound, Carl. We can't do it without playing the sounder. But I just want to ask you real quick, as a defensive player, and you see – but, Chuck, you see other teams. You saw Auburn get after it. You saw Texas A&M. You saw even LSU. And then, you know, then Georgia, who's supposed to have this vaunted defense. I mean, and to me, where were the adjustments? Why don't you start blitzing earlier and just realizing you're getting carved up in the secondary? You've got to change the approach.
Well, I tell you this, the first thing, the first point I want to make, and to me, I think this is the most important point. When your best pass rusher is your middle linebacker and he's not able to get there, that's a problem. N'Kobe Dean is the best pass rusher. So when you watch what happened in this game, Alabama did a good job. They were chip blocking, having the running backs help chipping on the edge guys. But a little bit of what happened also, Georgia usually gets a lot of penetration because when N'Kobe Dean is blitzing and those guys are sending pressure from the linebackers, the defensive lineman's responsibility is they're knocking guys back so N'Kobe Dean can fit where he needs to fit, or they're slanting. They weren't getting there. So it was just like it was a road jam. I mean, it was basically like it was clogged up. And when you have that situation in a secondary that struggle, and plus remember, when N'Kobe Dean blitzes, the deep one-third was open most of the time for Alabama. So to me, the pass rushers, you know, have to if they're going to send pressure, he's got either to get there, you're going to have to play coverage. But also, the edge rushers weren't really getting there like they have been. It was a tough day rushing the passer for the Dogs, but your middle backer, if he's the best rusher, he's got to get there.
What about the D-line? And I just want your opinion on this. At times in the game, as the game went on, I thought they were a little gassed because of the way Bama was throwing the ball so much. And then those big boys up front, against the run, they're great. But if I got a pass, rush the passer, Chuck, you know this. Every single down, at some point, I'm gassed. Now, I know they were rotating some guys in and out, but did you feel that way, or was this simply what you're saying? They got jammed up in the middle and just weren't able to penetrate.
No, I agree with what you're saying, and I was kind of surprised. And I guess, you know, I never really noticed because Georgia was whooping people when they were rotating a lot of people. I never even realized that Jordan Davis was only a first and second down player.
Yep.
So, you know, on third downs, they're taking him out the game. And then I started wondering, why has he only got 2.5 sacks this year? And that has a lot to do with it. But, yeah, they were gassed. And to me, that up-tempo that Alabama did, it reminded me a little bit how they spread out. The Tennessee blueprint early on, Tennessee in the first quarter when the Vols played against the Dogs, they were having some success with the up-tempo. The quarterback missed some throws. But in this one, Alabama was really successful. But, you know, I saw that, but I also saw a little bit of standing around now. I saw some of the guys for the Dogs, and I'm sure they've watched the film. Some of the plays, man, you got to snatch off blocks and go and continue to fight on the pass rush. Because there were times, man, early on when Alabama's quarterback legitimately had 3-4 seconds mm-hmm. in the pocket.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to convert from run to pass. So there's some things on there I looked at that, you know, there's some effort things that I saw on a few plays where guys were kind of just tiptoeing around a little bit.
It is our man, Chuck Smith, talking about the national championship game. We'll get to the semifinal and the national championship game coming up. We're talking about the SEC championship right now. By the way, Michigan, we're going to see some dudes that really get after it, and a guy who actually does get to go to the Heisman ceremony. Hutchinson's been killing it, 25 sacks between the two. How impressed are you, by the way, Michigan does get after the quarterback?
Man, Michigan, they got fire, I'm telling you. They got fire coming off those edges. And Aiden Hutchinson, it's funny. I got a chance to talk to him a couple years ago right before he got hurt. We were kind of corresponding, and he was so motivated after he got injured, man, to come back this year. But I tell you what he does have, that's going to be a challenge for Georgia. There's no one in the SEC that uses the array of moves and techniques that this guy uses. Mm-hmm. He swims, he spins, he long arms. There's going to be some challenges. If I'm Georgia, I'm chip blocking, I'm sliding protection to him. To me, he's the dangerous one, but that dude right there is a top 5 NFL draft pick. And if you watch him, in his two-point stance, the way he gets off, it's going to transition and translate into the NFL with success day one. I mean, Georgia's got a heck of a matchup. Also on the run, I'm going to tell you, one of the guys they don't talk enough about is Chris Hinton Jr. He's from right up in Gwinnett County,
yeah.
Man, son of Chris Hinton, former Falcon. The guy's stout. So this is a good matchup for Georgia. These guys are some dogs. But I think the Dogs, they got the right guys. Now you just got to get the job done.
Let's talk about the Falcons and shift gears. I know we got to get to ballers and busters because I want to find out who were your ballers and busters this week. Let's do it.
Right.
All right, Chuck, tell us what you're thinking, man. Who balled out and who did not?
Baller number one, Carl, T.J. Watt. To me, the best pass rusher in the NFL. 3.5 sacks this weekend. Check this out. Now, he done missed 2 games. He's got an NFL high 16 sacks. Now, the reason why I'm calling him the baller is guess what? He's on pace for 24. And that will break Michael Strahan's single-season sack record of 22.5 that he had in 2001. And I've been really excited about this generation of pass rushers. I want to see somebody break the record. And listen, T.J. Watt, he wins at a high rate. I mean, he's fantastic, so he gets a baller. Buster goes out to the team that the Steelers were playing. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, he went for the win, right? He went for the two-point attempt after Lamar Jackson threw the touchdown pass. I think it was to Sammy Watkins. With 12 seconds. So my thing is this, guys. The Steelers ain't like this is a great Ben Roethlisberger Steelers offense. So when he was saying, well, we were down on the depth chart, I'm trusting my defense. The Ravens have been playing straight great defense for a long time. To me, Harbaugh, I would have kicked the field goal, went into overtime, and let my defense, if said B, slow down. Listen, this is not a Steelers great offense. So I think when they look back, they might think otherwise. All right? Now, number 3, baller. San Diego quarterback Justin Herbert, 15 games with at least 300 passing yards. Guys, it's already a record for a player in his second season. Listen, man, this dude right here is special. If you watch him, he can put the ball on the dime. He can make every throw. And the best thing I like about him, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he can move. He can run. I'm telling you, this guy is fantastic. I love him.
Right.
Number 3. Buster to the Falcons' O-line and D-line. The Falcons O-line, 11 hits on Matt Ryan. I think, what was it, 4 or 5 sacks for Tampa Bay defensive front? Yeah. How many was it?
5.
And now another buster out to our Falcon D-line. 1 hit on Tom Brady, no sacks. So, look, man, when you look at what happened to the Falcons, I really got to give a baller out to Matt Ryan for his survival tactics.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, really, seriously, guys, when you get hit that many times, a lot of times quarterbacks don't survive, but give Matt Ryan a baller just for that. All right, now, baller out to the same offensive line. Falcons' offensive run game showed they can muscle and tussle with one of their best D-lines in football. Listen, the Falcons did well running the ball. The O-line, they was manning up, getting after them on the run, and I think they did a great job showing what they can do, and I hope they continue to do that. Now, after that ball, let's stay with the Falcons. I got an extra double buster that goes out to Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. What's up with you snapping on the local media? I mean, Dan P's done already ripped D-Led one time. What? They just trying to do their jobs, man. Listen, after Sunday's loss, you're starting to sound like the Grinch. Rookie stuff. Because, Carl and Mike, this ain't exactly the toughest media. Everybody knows what the Falcons don't have.
Right.
I mean, y'all ain't – hey, Mike, in the old days, you'd be up there grilling them back in the day at the old radio station used to be at. So, look, but my thing is this, man, handle your business with some composure. No need to be grumpy. The facts are what they are. And my thing is, just give the information, man, because we know Arthur Smith. You ain't got the right team. You ain't got guys that you know you can win with. But chopping on the media, to me, got to let that go, man. Be smooth with it, all right? No less. All right, there was a number 90 sighting. Baller, number 90. The new 9-0 to Rhino. 90, Falcons, Marlon Davidson. I love seeing him make that play. The play was huge, getting the interception on Tom Brady, getting his first touchdown. But my thing is this, what made it special, that was a moment, guys. We were back in the game.
Yep.
We talk about what our defense hadn't did. Falcons defense. That was a big play, so credit out to him, man. I love that. And this is my last one, y'all, my last buster. My buster goes out to every fan, the media types, even myself, everybody that fell into that saying that, well, they can't lose. They're unbeatable. All the people out there in America now, and everybody's listening to Atlanta, I want you never, ever to say that a team can't be beat. The conversation around about the Georgia Bulldogs was absolutely stunning. You would have thought, seriously, man, you would have thought literally that everything was perfect. So my thing is this. This game, this wasn't the greatest upset even in SEC history. This was no major upset. So I want everybody, as we step back, moving forward, just realize that anybody can be beat, including Georgia. Bama showed that. Now let's hope the Dogs use this for motivation and come back and play and win the national championship.
Chuck, I hope you're right. And I tell you what, you're absolutely right. I don't think it was a surprise simply because we're talking about Alabama. I mean, are you serious?
Well, they were top 10 in every defensive. That's the thing. You know, people focused on Georgia's numbers. And then, again, the argument about maybe better competition, it just the common opponents, Chuck, is where the eye test got leaning towards Georgia.
Yeah.
Everyone said, look, Alabama struggled with this team and that team, and Georgia whipped this team or that team. So that's where a lot of that narrative, not to make excuses, but that's where a lot of that came from.
And
yeah,
I don't know.
Mike.
And I don't know, is Chuck Smith joining us, guys? And he does this Tuesdays and Fridays. We're going to look ahead to Carolina on Friday. But I'll say this. I don't know why. And I don't know who said it. I think it was one of the defensive linemen or something. But he was like, man, we're Alabama. We're not a D3 team after the game. And it made me laugh because that's how they were being talked about. You know, it was like they hadn't accomplished anything. This is not that team. So I agree with you on that big upset. Chuck, let's get out of here, man. Appreciate you as always. Great stuff. Falcons have work to do. We'll talk to you on Friday about Carolina. Can they go on the road and find a way to win? We'll get to that on Friday. Get us out of here, man.
All right, y'all. Live life every day like it's 3rd and 8.
Strap in, youngins. With Dukes and Bell.
Last night it was very, very windy in Buffalo. Matter of fact, just to put it in perspective, New England ran the ball pretty much the entire game. 46 carries, 3 passing attempts, and basically 2 completions. I mean, if you broke it down, Mike, that's what it looks like. And New England was able to win the game. But after the game, you hear Sean McDermott, the coach of the Bills, not wanting to give credit where credit's due, and that is to Bill Belichick.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, it's not. Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing.
Again, well, for those that are new to American or English conversations, Carl, with regard to sports, whenever, with all due respect, is coming, that means I'm going to disrespect the person I'm talking about. I don't know, man. He's talking about the metrics of the game and how it played out. Obviously, as you mentioned, the weather conditions were terrible. I thought that, you know, Josh Allen, and unfortunately they were going the wrong way with the wind, had three chances to score late. I thought they went for big chunks on those the third and long. He took a sack he shouldn't have taken. I heard Peyton talking about that. So, I mean, they had opportunities. It's a shame that, you know, Buffalo started off so hot, and now you're like, wow. Once again, you're taking a knee to the Patriots, and maybe that's why McDermott's in his bag.
He is, man. I mean, give the coach credit. Here's what Belichick did last night, and most coaches wouldn't have the balls to do it. He said, we're going to run the ball. We're not going to throw it a lot because of the conditions, and we're going to beat you. And they did. And you couldn't do anything because you guys couldn't run the ball as effectively. So, you know, you're right. One trip, four trips in the red zone, one score. I put that on you. So I thought that was interesting, Mike, to say it's not about Belichick. Well, actually it is, because now he leads your division. And, Mike, they are the team that everybody now is talking about in the AFC again, in the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing things the right way there. Look, the conditions were brutal. You're going one way. You really couldn't do anything. They tried a field goal that looked for a second like it was going to go, and the wind literally, Carl, you could see the football move like about 3 feet at the end. So Buffalo, they also had some bad clock management, too. They had to burn a timeout late that really could have they could have gotten the ball back with maybe a minute or so, but they mishandled the clock. So that's on Daboll and on McDermott.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment, guys. We talk about what's going on. Of course, it's brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live well. Mike, I didn't think the Hawks would be on fire like they were in a back-to-back situation last night, but they were. And, boy, who is this guy? Cabarro, Mike. He was hitting from everywhere last night.
TLC for three, baby.
Hey, here's Nate McMillan talking about the ball movement was the key.
But offensively had good ball movement throughout the game, 31 assists tonight. Our shots was falling. You know, with that ball movement, we built a rhythm and was able to knock down our shots early.
Yeah, man, when you go for 75 points of your 121, Carl, coming from three, That was just bananas. Timothy Luau, Cabaret. Oh, Frenchie. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. That's a Good Morning Vietnam reference right there. Dude was money, man. So, yeah, man, Trey and Andrew were lighting it up. Goes for 23 last night. That's why I'm just making it easy on everybody. We'll just call this man TLC. How about that?
Hey, I've been telling you how good Trae Young's been, and I know, again, maybe you haven't been paying attention, but, you know, he's now, when you look at the numbers, guys, most games, 55 with 25 points and 10-plus assists in NBA history. Who has he surpassed? Michael Jordan, Dame Lillard, who has 54, but, of course, Lillard's still playing. The right. point is, Trae just got here. He just stepped into this thing, and now Trae Young has tied Bob Cousy and Lenny Wilkins for the 21st most games with 25-plus points and 10-plus assists. Yeah. He's balling out, Mike.
It's one thing when you start to get into the category of guys who actually can't handle the ball as point guards, right? He's already surpassing some of these dudes. It's amazing. Another thing, I heard Andy Rende talking about this, and I was watching some of it this morning on the DVR. And it's a good point that Andy Bunker brought up. When Gallinari gives you more than just the average, the Hawks win. When they don't, and he's not helping you, they seem to lose a little bit more. Last night he was feeling it, and he wasn't a liability necessarily defensively, but 20 points from Gallo last night, that was big.
It was. Hawks get a few days off. They get Brooklyn on Friday. We'll see what happens with that, but the days off should bear well for our Hawks. Hey, let's talk about Marlon Davidson, because he had a big interception. We didn't win, but hopefully it was a moment for Marlon that he can build on. But he was asked about facing Cam Newton this Sunday.
He's a big time player, man. We're playing against with Cam Newton, coming from Auburn. Running quarterback, you know, everybody hates a running quarterback. You know what I mean? Just playing against Carolina again, man. I got a bad taste in my mouth. You know what I mean? So it's work week.
Well, let's hope some work gets put in and he continues to get better, Mike. We've said
that was an ugly game. That ticked off a lot of Falcon fans, too.
Which one?
The Carolina game.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Again, it was right there to be had. And either way, but I'll say this about Marlon Davidson. He's been more injured, we've said this, than on the field. And so when he was on the field and he's now making plays and he says he's healthy, I hope he can build and we can see what this guy really has as we continue to grow with Marlon Davidson. Mike, we've said this. Yeah, that's Cam Newton. I don't know if Marlon's a part of the future here or not. I don't know who is. Who's going to be here and who's not. Right. But if he keeps playing like he did on Sunday and making plays, he will be.
Well, this was our hope that this guy was going to be an athlete that could play inside or outside and maybe was more well-suited to a 3-4. But again, the biggest problem last year was couldn't stay healthy, and he's had some issues staying healthy too. But, yeah, like it would be nice because that's a second rounder. And we, this organization, look, you can only blame so much on Dimitroff, but this was one of his guys. And Quinn, if you had the input. But we had wasted so many picks on second rounders that aren't even on this team or have minimal impact.
Hey, let's talk about the Heisman finalists. We really hadn't talked about it all year just because it's been that kind of year. I didn't think anybody kind of took it, you know, by the horns and said, hey, I'm the guy. Obviously, C.J. Stroud at Ohio State's had a great year. We just saw Bryce Young and what he did to Georgia. Aiden Hutchinson is the guy we've been talking about from Michigan, the edge rusher. He's going to be there. And Pittsburgh's quarterback, Mike Kenny Pickett. I didn't think this is. I still don't think this is a great draft for quarterbacks, but Pickett's a guy a lot of people are talking about potentially in this upcoming spring draft.
There's a lot about Pickett that reminds you of Matt Ryan at Boston College, a little more athletic than Matt. He can move. We talked yesterday about his slide that he was able to bust for a big gain against Wake in the ACC championship game. But the guy seemingly crawled in. It doesn't seem like he was at Pitt for like 8 years, but he did surpass Dan Marino's all-time record for the Panthers as far as touchdowns and yards and all that. But he's going to get some mention. You know, Matt Corral, you're going to see them. I believe Ole Miss has a nice bowl game too. So, but yeah, it is a class that is kind of, well, meh. And I don't know. The guys ask us every day, where are we going to go? I don't know if we're going to even address quarterback in this draft or other than a project guy.
Yeah, I don't think you should. I mean, honestly, don't we have more pressing issues. Now, I know we're months away, but just look at your team right now. First of all, no, a lot of these guys are going to be gone because they're one-year deals, and you're going to get hopefully some more flexibility with the cap a little bit, and the cap should go up. But look at your team. I mean, honestly, I just don't think you go there this year, Mike. If you're going to go trade for some big-time free agent or, for that matter, make a trade for, like, Russell Wilson or something, that's different. But I don't foresee that happening. No. And so then you go, okay, what do we need? There are more needs right now than quarterback. That's just where I'm at.
Unless in some of these senior day workouts, because a lot of these quarterbacks are upperclassmen, but how many of these guys maybe impress Fontenot and maybe we take a flyer? But yeah, but the guys we just mentioned, those are all first-round picks or late first-round picks.
Hey, we mentioned this late in the show yesterday, but hours, boy, Miami screwed this up, I think. But hours after firing Manny Diaz, they announced they are hiring Mario Cristobal. The problem was, folks, word was out that Cristobal was already the guy before they fired Manny Diaz. Either way, Mario Cristobal coming from Oregon, Mike, now that job opens up. So Oklahoma gets filled by Brent Venables, which we'll talk more about at 4 o'clock as part of our dog report. And now Oregon is opened up. They've given it to an interim coach there, but I don't know if that's the answer.
Yeah, and Cristobal, the latest prodigal son to return to Miami. The first question to Miami, I guess SID said, no questions about the hiring process. Like, what? How are you not going to ask that question? Come on, that's ridiculous.
Hey, man, we got more to get to. NFL Blitz is on the way. Daniel Jones doesn't look like he's going to play this week. And I got to ask Mike, is it time to move on from Daniel Jones?
And ghetto man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.